This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here Tuesday afternoon. A lot of NFL over the next 45 minutes. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. NFL No Huddle just a couple of minutes from right now. We'll get back into some draft conversation coming out of the combine. All the new mocks are up. The post-combine mocks are up. So we'll get you some number 15th picks in about 20 minutes. Then we'll get to the back page with Bo as well.
Well, I was watching yesterday, obviously, baseball season and everything, and I saw, you know, Sean Newcomb. I was like, oh. That's a name I haven't seen in a while. Pitching for the Red Sox yesterday. Yep. Saw him. Got to see Max Fried make his Yankee debut yesterday with
Charlie Morton
and everything. So, yeah, it was real all day yesterday. Like, I remember when he was a Brave.
Braves everywhere.
I remember his damn Braves everywhere. But the funny thing is, like, because Miss Libby, who our neighbor, love me some Miss Libby. Well, she's big. She loses her mind about the Braves, mm-hmm. right? And so this morning, I get a text at 6:36 this morning. I'm thinking his mama's saying she need daddy to come help her find her contact lens in the room. That's what I'm thinking. You know, dad's like, hell yeah. Perk up out that chair, get a 6:30 text. That's mama calling daddy. It's her man. Talking about, I said, where's Travis Darno? I was like, well, Miss Libby, he been gone. You know, then who is this Baldwin kid? I was like, she was hot this morning about these damn Braves because she loves the Braves. But I was like, 6:36, are you texting me?
How'd she find out?
I don't know.
She just was watching SportsCenter and Darno did something. Yeah. Or she heard that Murphy was hurt.
Yeah, she heard that Murphy got hurt.
She's like, all right, we got Darno.
Yes,
we don't have Darno.
We don't have Darno. And so she texts me. I'm like, oh, goodness gracious.
Dang it. So how'd you talk her off the ledge?
I just told that Baldwin, he's having a nice spring.
Yep.
I'd say he's a future
yep.
for the Braves and there everything like that. She said, is he one of our Mississippi guys? I was like, kinda,
yeah, maybe.
I was like, kinda.
He's either been there or will be there.
Yeah, I was like,
probably
I don't know. But yeah. okay, that's fine. I'm feeling better. Love you. Talk to you later. Like, okay, no problem. Love you too, Miss Libby. But
so you handled it.
I handled it.
Good job.
But dude, I was like, goodness, boy.
She called Braves minor league insider Randy McMichael.
Yeah, man. Like I got all the insight.
Season ticket holder of the Gwinnett Stripers.
I almost text Bo. He was probably up when I was up. Oh yeah, it's 6:30. Everybody's up. Hell, I'm not the only one up this morning answering Brave damn questions.
Good.
I had to go look on Grant's Twitter page real quick. Let me get some notes real quick so I can tell her.
I was heating up ravioli at 6:30 this morning. I would much rather talk about some Braves prospects.
Getting ravioli for breakfast?
No, Olivia takes it to lunch, though.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Takes it in a thermos.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
It's cold.
Oh, got it. That's pretty good.
That's good action.
That's good. So you heat it up, put it in the thermos, and it's still warm by lunch.
Oh, yeah. It's still hot by lunch.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That now explains it.
Yeah.
Because the first part of that thing was very confusing.
You never have ravioli.
I got the bad end of the tortellini over the weekend.
Yeah. Got the totem guts up, didn't it?
The guts end of the tortellini over the weekend.
Totem damn guts up.
We're back now.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I think I was still a little bit like, oh, God, what's going on? I'm back today.
Okay.
Back to 100%.
Got to be careful with pasta and rice.
Yeah,
but
God,
but that's
no
your
kidding.
Fault. That's your fault.
You it's know my that, right? fault.
Yeah,
she told
fault.
Me. Like, she told me.
It said it expired.
It was. Yeah. It was expired. But like, I'm always like, so what?
I push the limit.
What's expired?
I push the limit a lot. I do. I push the limit a lot. I don't believe in refrigerating leftovers.
Sniff it.
You know what I mean? I like looking.
I sniffed it.
I ate my food room temperature.
It did smelled fine.
No, it didn't.
I don't remember.
It had a little twang, didn't it?
I had a little bit to drink, you know, at that point.
It ain't that bad.
It was at 5:30 on Saturday night. We had been having some wine. I don't know. I sniffed it and maybe my nose didn't work as good.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was. You know you have food poisoning when you don't know what end it's going to come out of.
Yeah, dog.
You're sitting there and you're like, I don't know. I don't know what. I need like a bucket and a toilet.
Yeah, let me just prepare myself.
Yeah,
for this.
And then, it's a guessing game, really. It's really great. All right, anyway, let's get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. All right, NFL No Huddle every day to lead the hour. Franchise tag deadline day today.
Yes. We were talking yesterday about it, Bunk. Remember the Cowboys were talking about putting it on their defensive lineman? Yeah. Well, they have come to an agreement on the contract. So,
oh, good.
So he won't be franchised.
What's his name again? I don't know.
O.C. Ojigenzuma.
That's right.
Yeah, him. But yes.
Sounds like the Vikings are not going to franchise tag Sam Darnold.
I would. I don't know why. I don't know why I would. I probably would, Bunk.
That's expensive.
Yeah, it is. But it's a one-year rental because you don't know how J.J. McCarthy's going to come back. I wouldn't give him a long-term extension. That's just me.
Yeah, so that's the interesting part now is if they were going to give him a long-term extension, wouldn't you just franchise him?
And then wait. And then try to work it out. Right.
Because then you have, kind of the rights to him, whatever. Because I was looking this up yesterday, too. I was off on where the calendar is. I thought Kirk Cousins' contract sort of bonus thing and the league year were the same day.
No.
League year is March 12th.
This is like the 17th.
This is the 17th.
Yeah.
So there's 5 days. And legal tampering is the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole week, essentially, between when all that gets underway and when the Falcons have to make that decision on Kirk Cousins' money, which I think is beneficial to them, to sort of see how everything plays out. All they need, and I don't know what the Sam Darnold thing did to the market. I do think that Matt Stafford returning to the Rams helps because now there's one team that could have been quarterback needy that's out of it,
right?
So they're out of it. I still think the Vikings are. Because I think they're going to want to sign somebody. I don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to be their starter week one. They want to see where he's at health-wise. I think they're probably going to be doing a similar thing to what they did last year.
Yeah. But now,
unfortunately, not franchising Darnold puts Darnold into the marketplace,
right?
Which is just another guy that Kirk Cousins have to compete with.
And the thing about it, when J.J. got hurt, he should be healthy by the time drills and all the training camp and everything comes out.
But he was healthy last year.
With his injury.
Right.
J.J.
I know, but I'm saying he was healthy last year and they wanted him.
They wanted
him,
whatever. Yeah. So is that one of the things where we had him in the system and everything like that? They also could, if you're talking about bringing that veteran like they had, they did have Daniel Jones at the end of the season. So is that a year where you can bring him back for a $10 million one-year deal or something like that?
They have such an interesting situation, too, because, all right, Darnold fell off at the end, but they won 13 games.
They did.
I don't know that they can repeat that, but, they're a playoff team with him.
Can he repeat that?
I don't know.
I think that's my biggest thing with Sam Darnold is can he repeat
that? But you have
to
assume whatever they do, if it's not him, is worse.
Right.
Right? Probably. Than what Darnold did last year, a rookie J.J. McCarthy or Daniel Jones or whatever.
I don't know because I think Kevin O'Connell's a hell of a football coach.
I do too.
Coach,
and that might be the X factor.
Yeah, I think
Kevin O'Connell might just be the guy that gets the most out of everybody.
I think he's a hell of a football coach,
it might
man.
Be.
And I think his track record proves more to me than Sam Darnold doing it again. You know,
agreed.
So,
but I'm just saying, if they bring Darnold back, I think you have an idea of where the ceiling is. Now, ceiling's not a championship.
No, it's not.
But it's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good.
They won a lot of games last year. If you don't bring him back, it feels like it lowers at least the short-term ceiling a little bit. Long-term, probably higher.
Yeah, because
it's unknown.
It's unknown because you're quarterback.
But short-term definitely would be lower, I would assume.
You're not
winning 13 games next year
with him as a quarterback.
J.J. McCarthy.
I don't think so. So, I mean, they're going to be out there. And the thing with Sam is, he's going to have a market.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to sign. Sam's going to have a market. It's just for how long and how much, I think, as far as the years on the contract and how much average per year he's going to get. But I think he's going to have – I think he played well enough for somebody to – I won't say, I'll say it, trick him into thinking that he's their franchise guy because he's only 28 years old.
Right. He's younger than some of the, it's a different ballpark, but those four guys in the AFC that are all the best quarterbacks in the world, he's younger than those guys. He's just been around longer because, I don't know. I'm looking at all of it just in terms of all right, what does this mean for the Falcons' ability to maybe make a trade? I think that makes it slightly harder. Now, it's not the same ballpark. A team that would be signing Sam Darnold is not the same team that would be trying to trade for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
No.
because you'd have to spend a lot of money to get Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Anyway, here's Josh Kendall of The Athletic, one of the Falcons reporters, insiders on 11 Alive the other night, talking about some of what he feels like he learned at the Combine, Falcons related.
Nobody I talked to for the first 4 or 5 days in Indianapolis believed Atlanta when they said we might keep him. Everybody expects him to hit the open market. By the end of the week, I did hear a whisper that maybe people are starting to think the Falcons aren't really bluffing. I still think the Falcons are bluffing. I don't think you can keep Kirk Cousins in 2026 as your backup. I understand that financially, you can make the financial explanation to me, and I totally get it. He's going to count basically the same money on the salary cap whether he's playing for you or not.
That is true.
But I don't think it's fair to Kirk Cousins. And more importantly for Atlanta, I don't think it's fair to Michael Penix.
Thank you.
Yeah, that matters.
That matters.
What's fair to Michael Penix is what matters.
Michael Penix matters. Yes. I don't give a damn about Kirk Cousins' feelings. It don't matter what his feelings are. I think about Michael Penix in this organization, in this locker room, man. And they look at him sideways. I don't give a damn what nobody says. They're going to come out. If he's here, they're going to all come out and kumbaya and all that other crap. Whatever. All right, dog, we feel like you did us dirty, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because you were afraid to lose your damn job. So whatever. I don't give a damn about Kirk Cousins' feelings, but I do care about Michael Penix's feelings.
Yeah, he's the future of the franchise.
He's the future of the franchise. Get him the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Get him the hell out of here and go about your business.
It doesn't benefit him long term to have Kirk Cousins around.
And I understand, the money, whether he's on the team or not, is going to cost the same. I understand that part.
Almost.
I do.
Almost the same.
Yeah, I do understand that
part.
Except
for that $10 million.
Except for the $10 million, but I do understand that part.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, get him the hell out of here, man.
Yeah, it's about more than just that, but then also it is about just that, too. Like, $10 million is not nothing. Like, it's not, everyone keeps like scoffing at $10 million like the Falcons aren't cash strapped.
This is my thing. You already gave you gave him the money, whatever. Like, how are you going to explain this to Arthur Blank that we about to give him another $10 million?
He can't. I couldn't.
Like, that's my thing. How are you going to explain
that? That was the question I had the Monday after the season was over.
Yeah.
All right, Terry, sit down. Make your argument.
Make your argument.
Because that was a tough one.
Yeah.
The argument was Penix, Bijan in London, right? That's pretty much it.
Yep.
That's the argument.
Yep.
Okay, the arguments against. There's a long list. But his argument was good enough because he's still here, obviously.
He still has a job.
He's at the combine talking to guys and all that kind of stuff. But, I like that from Kendall because he's like, at the beginning of the week, everyone was like, yeah, they're bluffing. And then by the end of the week, he heard one whisper. So, yeah, they're bluffing. You know who that whisper was from? Kirk Cousins' agent.
Yeah, they're not doing that, man. They're not doing it.
I'm so sure that we're both right about this that I'm starting to be like, are we wrong about this?
No, I'm not going to go there.
This will be the most wrong I've ever been about anything.
Hey,
they keep Kirk Cousins.
Remember what you just
said? No way.
About there's that 5-day window between the both. Yeah. Are they hoping like somebody's tampered so they can get their 5th-round pick back?
Maybe.
Yeah, we had him under contract and so on. Because Kirk's going to tell if
it is happens. That how it works? If he tampers again, it's like double jeopardy?
I don't know, man.
I think what they're hoping is the Browns and somebody else are desperate. So then there's two teams that want him.
Yeah, but.
Because that's the only hope you got.
That's the only hope you got. But that's what I'm saying. Like, oh God, and I can't put nothing past the damn Browns. Nobody should be that desperate.
Right.
You know what I mean? You should not be that desperate.
But boy, are they.
Because take a minute. If Kirk Cousins is healthy, if this is a healthy Kirk Cousins going into this process, is he worth the money that his contract would allow you to trade for him?
No, they wouldn't trade. They wouldn't take the money. The Falcons would still pay him.
No,
get something in return.
That, but I'm saying, meaning that if you're going to give up something, get Kirk Cousins, you got to take his money.
Can't you do like,
no,
you can't.
No, you got to take his money. You got to take his contract.
Really? You got to take every bit of it?
You're going to suffer some ramifications as far as the Falcons on the back end. No, you. Oh, we got
to
go.
All right, let's get back to that. Yeah. I didn't realize that. All right, let's come back and get back into that conversation. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
Hello.
That was informative,
yes.
I feel like. We did a lot of Googling of NFL salary cap details and all of that. My end conclusion is the same as it was.
Yes.
Cut them. Yes. I mean, They're going to have to. Because I was under the assumption that, I don't think it's an assumption. I think we kind of validated it, that if a trade takes place in the NFL, teams can negotiate how much each team is going to pay the guaranteed money remaining on the contract. The Browns can't afford to pay a quarterback anything because they're already paying a quarterback.
Exactly.
I think Deshaun Watson is going to be something like $79 million against the cap this year to not play because of the way that they restructured it and tried to move around the money and obviously how much they still owe him from that huge fully guaranteed contract that they gave him. It's crazy, too, just sort of as the ripple effects across the NFL from all these different things. Like, the Browns landing Deshaun Watson in the first place kind of led to the Falcons getting Kirk Cousins eventually anyway, right?
Yes.
And now that obviously didn't work out, and he may end up there with him too while Matt Ryan's on television talking about it, doing a really nice job. And the other two guys that were here in the meantime are elsewhere also.
Yeah. I think the Browns or whoever, whatever team, they want the Falcons to cut him.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Every team.
Because
wants
the Falcons
that.
Are going to pay him all that money, and you got to pay him the league minimum. The same thing that happened with Russ and everything. Now, you're going to take a cap hit because of it, you know, as far as we understand all that part. But it's like if the Browns trade Myles Garrett before, it's in certain days, too, June 1st, it would create a $36.2 million dead cap hit.
Okay.
All right.
Right. So even if they don't pay that money, because the other team that trades for him, I would assume in this case, we'll be taking on all of the money because they want him and don't mind paying him all that money because he's really good.
Yes,
the Browns still have to take that cap hit because they signed him to that guaranteed money and then moved him.
Yes.
So you don't get to get out from underneath that just by trading the player. So from the perspective of the fan, like or the folks that cover the team, the people that don't have to cut the check, you know what I mean? Like whatever makes it easiest to move on from him is all I really care about.
Yes.
Like, the Falcons have to account for the money against the cap no matter what happens.
Right.
Whether Arthur Blank actually has to write the full amount in a check or not, sucks for him.
Yeah.
Irrelevant to me.
Right.
I'll go buy some more 2x4s. Cost's going up anyway, that part of it, like the financial, like the bookkeeping of it, the actual payment is irrelevant, really, as far as we're talking. It makes it harder to trade him for people to take on any extra money, especially the Browns, like we said, because they don't have any money.
Correct.
In order for somebody to make that move, you'd have to be willing to add whatever it would be to your salary cap.
And there are not a lot of these teams out there right now that need quarterbacks have that.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, because exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Or if you do need one, then you're just going to spend like real money and get Sam Darnold or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And so, I mean, those are the situation when you look at it from here. I think these need to get cut dry. Get rid of them, all those things. Because the petty part about it is it's just not business. You know what I mean? That's not the business part of running an organization. You messed up. Yeah. All right, you messed up.
Messed up, move forward.
Yeah, move forward.
The best thing that can happen for everyone from here until, because again, it's like 13 days away from the deadline. League year starts in about a week from tomorrow. Tampering period starts yesterday. So all this stuff is really going to ramp up. A week from right now, you're going to have a pretty good indication of who's going to sign Sam Darnold, where if Aaron Rodgers is going to go anywhere, what's going to happen with Russell Wilson, like this. I mean, it's, I don't want to say a secondary quarterback market because these are the quarterbacks that are on the market, mm-hmm. but they're on the market because they're not top-tier quarterbacks,
yeah,
right?
Like secondary, you look at like Jameis, those type of guys.
Yeah, that's the secondary market for this offseason.
Yes,
I just mean these guys are sort of afterthought quarterbacks
now.
That's why they're available, because if they were, you know, they were genuine franchise quarterbacks, they'd be signed somewhere else and they wouldn't be available.
Like, right.
Franchise quarterbacks don't come available in free agency really ever, like unless something really unique happens, like they're 40 and the team doesn't believe in them anymore,
right.
or the Dolphins have, you know, they don't do a good job with their physical, or Kirk Cousins.
Can't do that,
you know, I'm just, there's not very many examples. Right. There's like four examples. So that's one of them.
Use that damn example.
It's one of them. Or like Kirk Cousins, you know, ruptures his Achilles and the Falcons decide they want to give him $100 million. Yeah.
When nobody was going to go anywhere near that.
Right.
Yeah.
So just those types of things.
Yeah.
Those are the examples of when franchise quarterbacks become available. And it turns out in some cases they're not franchise quarterbacks anymore.
No. I mean, but and that's always the risk that you go about when you sign somebody else's free agent, because the whole Drew Brees, right? Drew was coming off of major shoulder reconstruction.
Sure.
You know, so there was all that. There was always that risk of him not being who he once was. And the same thing with Kirk Cousins as far as the Achilles.
Or I mean, Peyton Manning or when he had his neck surgery, or Tom Brady when he was old.
Yeah, but I mean, but you take a look at the last two, there are two of them are all time greats.
Yeah. Well, and so is Drew Brees.
And so is Drew Brees.
They just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's always that risk. And when you're signing somebody else's free agent, especially at that position, because it's a position, if you miss, it goes bad. People get fired.
Yeah. I mean, what it is quarterback purgatory, which is what we all sort of like hoped wasn't the future as the Matt Ryan era was ending. It was like, for all the folks that wanted to, you know, criticize and be hard on what that was, it was pretty damn good compared to almost any situation, but it was really good compared to like half the situations in the NFL almost at all times.
Right.
Two-thirds, really, for the majority of his time. And unfortunately, since the end of it, it has been just that. It has been quarterback purgatory. This will be the fifth year that Terry Fontenot is the general manager of the Falcons, and it'll be the fifth different starting quarterback.
Oh,
there
wow.
will not be a sixth.
No, there will not. No, he will not get another opportunity.
Yeah,
no.
It'll either be Penix again.
Yes.
Or he'll be gone.
Yes, yes, no doubt about that.
And it might be Penix again, and he'll be gone if the team isn't good enough and they don't build the team around it.
Penix will be here.
Yeah, Penix is here.
Yeah, Penix will be here.
Penix is the quarterback. And that, to me, that's the whole point of all of it is like, look, I understand they got to figure it out. They got to posture and make it seem like they're going to keep him if nobody wants him to try to make the market better. I get it. Like, I think they're doing a pretty good job of playing the game publicly.
They're doing a hell of a job.
Yeah.
They're doing a hell of a job.
It might not matter.
Yeah, but they're doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, they're doing a good job.
They really are.
They're convincing people that they're serious.
Because we knew there wasn't no way in hell that Russ was going back to Denver.
Right.
There was no way.
There was nothing that could be said that would convince anyone that was going to happen.
Nobody.
They're doing their best to try to make it seem like this is going to happen. I still don't think it's going to, and we'll find out. But really, the best thing that can happen is free agency gets here. You make some moves with the money that you got to address the defense. You get rid of him, and then you can focus on the future, which is Michael Penix.
I mean, and the sooner that happens, the better.
Yeah.
The sooner that happens, the better.
For everyone.
Yeah, for everybody.
For everybody.
You know what I mean? Because that's the last thing
involved.
You want. Like, because it's going, if that happens, when you remove, in my opinion, the biggest distraction of your team this offseason, when you remove it, you don't got to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. And really, it's just gone then.
Yes. Like, it's just gone. It's just absolutely gone.
You got to pay for the whatever, the money the next couple of years.
Yes.
But just like we saw in Denver this year, if Penix plays as well as we think he can. Nobody was talking about Russell Wilson by December in Denver.
And then how everybody
they
tried,
were going to the playoffs.
Because they were winning.
Exactly.
Even though people were trying to trick them. Well, actually, if you look at the cap hit that Russell Wilson gave them, that's kind of like paying your rookie quarterback. I was like, what are you talking? Yeah, that's really money assigned for Bo Nix. Bo Nix ain't getting none of that money, so it ain't assigned to me.
It's not assigned to him.
Yeah, oh, God.
At all.
When somebody said that, they were like, oh, yeah, the money, how they're viewing it is that this money is assigned to Bo Nix.
Boy. I mean, you do all the mental gymnastics you want.
Because if I'm Bo Nix.
They blank it. Yeah, give me something.
If I'm Bo Nix, assign it to me. Assign it to me.
Yeah, let's assign it.
Yeah, let's.
Because Russell Wilson's also like, I'm pretty sure that's assigned to my direct deposit.
Yeah, exactly.
Once a week during the season, because they still have to pay him damn near $200 million to get out of there.
How about y'all assign me some of that money?
Yeah, but again, just like this is the bottom line of all of it comes back to the same thing in every sport, every year, in whatever. win and everything's cool.
Yep.
It's simple as that. Like, no one's going to think about this at all a year from right now. If Penix goes 12-5 next year and they win a playoff game, he throws for like 4,000 yards and everyone's fired up about it.
Andy, he has to do that.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. I'm aware.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
That's the next phase of this. That's what I'm trying to, because the next phase of this is overhype.
Yes.
Because it's coming.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Because he played well in three games.
Yes.
Right? He's about to be a rookie next year.
Yes.
But, like, the three games is enough to sort of make people forget that he's a rookie.
Because you can see that.
And then also, Jaden Daniels was in the NFC Championship game last year, and all the other rookie quarterbacks played good.
That's the thing about it. The past 2 years, you've had a rookie quarterback, all of them. Yeah. Now, last year, CJ took a step back, mainly because the protection wasn't there. He lost the receivers, everything like that. The whole Jaden Daniels thing is wild to me because they won six games on the last possession?
Yeah.
Like, you can't build and sustain that.
I know.
All right? Dan's a coach. I love Dan.
Isn't it funny how Dan teams always have this unsustainable, but he wins, though?
But he wins.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like,
well, that's not sustainable. Well, I don't know. Tell them they're in the NFC Championship game. So.
But I'm like, can Washington really, like, are they really that good? Or are they just good at that point?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
They are. I don't think they are, but so what?
I don't think you that know Washington what I mean? Is like one of these upper echelon teams that people are trying to throw down. Are they the second best team in the NFC? No.
Well, I don't think, right. They made the NFC Championship game.
Did.
I don't think they were the second best team in the NFC last year. But by the end of the year, they were, right? Because they beat all the teams
they needed
to beat.
And they made the plays at the end of games.
But here's the thing.
I still go back to that week. It was Washington week when we were covering, when the Falcons went up to Washington. And I kept saying, they're him.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Him.
Yeah, but he's good.
He's so damn good.
He's really good.
But I kept saying, like, I don't know.
No, I know. I'm with you. But here's the thing. Like, that was last year's team. Yeah. They overachieved without question. But they have pieces in place. If you fill it in, right, they got the guys to where it could be like that.
Yeah.
Like, you have the most important thing right his first year. Like, it can be like that. But then again, that's happened the last couple of years. So now people are going to look at Penix and be like, all right, you do that. It's like, dang. I really hope he does. I really, really, really hope he does. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to the overhype in a while. We still got to cut Kirk Cousins first.
Yeah, he got to go.
He's still hanging around. Until that happens, then we'll get there. All right. Back page with Bo coming up next. Also, Lucas Glover going to join the show from the Atlanta Drive. They have a TGL match tonight against Tiger. Lucas Glover won the 2009 U.S. Open at Bethpage. That's a real feat. Like, to win a U.S. Open at that course, you're a monster. He's going to join the show next. Monsters Only. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show. Andy and Randy. 20 minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day. Hawks with a really nice win last night on the road against Memphis. Back at it tonight at home against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Let go.
Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pregame at 7, tip-off at 7:30. Brandon Adams going to join us, talk some college football at 1:20, and then we will get to an AMA at 1:40 as well. But as we've been doing throughout their season, on the day of the match, one of the members of the Atlanta Drive, nice enough to call into the show and spend some time with us. Today, Lucas Glover, major champion Lucas Glover, calling into the show and hanging out. Lucas, how are you?
What up, Lucas?
Good. How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Doing good, man. Looking forward to tonight. Obviously, you guys' last regular season match. Already have the playoffs sewed up, so that's good. Maybe a little less pressure. But going against Jupiter, Tiger's going to be out there. I know you guys are kind of squaring off in the singles. Any trash talk there between you and Tiger tonight?
Yeah, I hope so. Hopefully he knows the difference between 199 and 99 tonight. But
there you go.
Oh, that's a good one.
There we go.
There.
All right. So, off to a good start.
Might have to remind him of that. I mean, he's not that old.
Yeah, that's a good right there, man. It seems like you guys are obviously third right now. I think I saw this morning, third in the standings right now, Lucas. And some guys are going to be out tonight. Nick Dumlech signed a one-day contract. And we were all last week when we found this out, like a one-day contract. So does he not, like, when you guys win it all, does he not get the benefits?
Oh, yeah. Does he get a ring?
Does he get a ring or something like that?
I don't know. I'm not in charge of those details. I just try to hit good shots and make putts and let the office figure all that out. But Nick's a heck of a player, and I saw him yesterday, and he's excited, and we're excited to have him. And I know Justin and Patrick have played every match up till now. Right. Billy's playing great. So, we're going to give it our all, and I know Tiger, and he'll have his boys ready, so we got to be ready too.
I did want to ask about that just because, look, I mean, like, if you're one of the guys playing in this thing, you're obviously very, very highly thought of as a player, and then Nick Dunlap gets brought in on a one-day deal. He's a really young guy. He's got a promising career in front of him, but, like, how much of a – I don't know, how much of a nod from maybe you guys, or kind of an arm around him from you guys telling him, hey, like, we view you that way. Do you feel like that is?
Yeah, I think his play has done that, to be honest. Two wins last year, one as an amateur. So anybody that doesn't do that for him doesn't know talent and a heck of a player when they see one. And I was lucky enough to get to know Nick early on after his win, and played some practice rounds with him, played a little bit with him, and down-to-earth guy, great kid. He'll fit in great with the team, and, you know, Billy's the energy, so Nick and I'll let him do that, and hopefully we'll just hit good shots.
Hey, Lucas, we've asked all the guys that have participated that we've had on the show, how has it been for you, because we haven't had you on, how has it been for you adjusting from being on the real grass to being in a simulated type thing?
You know, funny you ask. I just left SoFi Center, actually. They have a shoot around, they call it, and we can go in and practice a little bit day of. And yeah, it's still an adjustment, but it's fun because it's like a video game, honestly, for us, because we're so used to seeing the ball fly, you know, a couple hundred yards or 100 yards, or in Nick Dunlap's case, like 330 yards. So yeah, but to see it, you know, hit a shot and know we hit a nice shot, or even hit a bad shot, and then watch this thing fly up into this screen and then go, almost like, you know, like a video game. So it is very cool. But for me, it's the adjustment's been the feel shots, the feel stuff where, you know, you're in between clubs, or you got to hit a certain shot without a ton of spin or more spin. And it's not identical to being on the grass, just because it's not, because it is different. It is indoors. And so that's been the adjustment. But I did get to spend a couple hours in there this morning just getting used to some things. And they'll show us the holes we're playing tonight, so we can kind of get ready in that regard. And I hadn't played a match in a few weeks, hadn't been in the building in a few weeks, so I just wanted to go in there and make sure I was prepared and ready, and can prep as much as I can. So, but it's different, but in a really fun, energetic, new type of, sport, type of golf, and, truly made for TV, and it's fun. And, you know, we talk and get back and forth at each other. Yeah, it's a good time.
It seems like fun. It's fun to watch for sure.
Absolutely.
Lucas Glover joining us from the Atlanta Drive. One final one. We saw Billy Horschel was out there like wrangling gators at the last. And we talk on this show, believe it or not, on this show, we talk a lot about animals that we would and wouldn't want to fight. Like, I mean, Billy handled the gator. He is a gator, I guess, from Florida. But what's the most wild animal you'd be willing to say that you could fight?
That I could fight?
Yeah, and beat.
Wouldn't be a gator. They've been around
right.
A long time.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
A lot longer than us, I think. So, I don't know. Something that I could outrun. So that kind of limits things, because I'm pretty heavy footed. man, how about a sloth? I'll go hard for a sloth.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm not gonna mess with anything. The ones that have been here a long time for a reason.
It's a good point. Those guys are basically dinosaurs. That's maybe tonight you can beat a tiger. How about that?
There we go. He's gonna be ready. I know that.
Hey, Lucas, we appreciate it.
Good luck tonight.
Good luck
Lucas.
Tonight.
Thank y'all for having me. Appreciate it.
Lucas Glover there, Atlanta Drive, final regular season match of the regular season. They're already qualified for the playoffs, so I don't know. Have a little fun tonight.
Yeah, it's Tiger. Jupiter stinks.
Yeah, they're not good.
Yeah, they're bad.
Good. Tom Kim, Tiger Woods, Max Homa versus Billy Horschel, Lucas Glover, Nick Dunlap, one-day contract, young guy. Tonight should be fun. Should be a fun one, and then the playoffs are right around the corner.
Any full swing yet?
You know what? I was about to put it on last night, and then I don't know, that game kind of went late because it was 8 o'clock tip, and then it was a good game. I don't know. What did I even do after the game? I think I just went to bed.
Yes.
I think I went to bed after the bet.
Yes.
I'm going to watch some of it tonight.
Okay.
I got it tonight because it's an earlier tip-off tonight. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Salomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SalomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Salomon Brothers. Hello, Bo.
So a couple of follow-ups to a couple of stories from yesterday. So I got so excited talking about, you know, history being made in pro wrestling with the John Cena heel turn and whatnot.
You were very excited.
Very
that
much
I did
so.
I forgot probably the funniest part of this entire interaction between Cena, Cody Rhodes, and Rock. So Cena wins. Cody comes out. Rock comes out. The three of them are in the ring. There's a pretty big, like a 5-minute interaction between Rock and Cody Rhodes where Rock wants Cody's answer because 2 weeks ago he showed up in an event and he's like, look, I want you to be my champion. I want your soul. You know, he wants me to be the corporate champion basically. So he's asking for the answer to this. So in this clip, I take out a bunch of the long dramatic pauses and I take out what Rock says going to happen to Cody if he joins him. So Rock kind of takes a jab at Dusty. Now look, if you've grown up watching wrestling or have ever watched it, we know that wrestling is under at least a 7 to 10 second delay to where they can take out anything that happens to which you won't want to get out that would make it more than a TV PG rating. All right? Evidently, that's not the what's going on the Peacock, which is an app made, you know, by NBC, which is where they run their pay-per-views until Netflix takes them over. So here's the last few seconds of that Rock and Cody Rhodes interaction.
If your answer is no, then tonight, the dream dies. Hey, Rock, go f*** yourself.
Okay. Did the dream die? American dream?
Oh. Yeah. But that whole conversation, the F-bomb was included on the broadcast. It was like a big, oh, type moment. So, yeah, it was pretty funny.
When improvising goes wrong?
Well, I just think, like, are we evolving like a higher tolerance for cussing?
Oh, absolutely.
Because like Nick Saban and Pat McAfee on ESPN saying the S word.
Now Nick does that on purpose.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Nick does it on purpose. Then everybody's like, well, Nick
does it. Well, I guess if Nick's doing it.
If Nick doing it, let me do it.
And you said that was on Peacock, right?
Yeah.
So that's not, you know, that's not FCC regulated because it's not a broadcast.
Yeah, you have to pay for it.
Well, it's just
they
like
come
on the,
with username and password.
On the off-the-cuff podcast, we're allowed to say cuss words because it's not over the air.
We just kind of have to mark it saying, hey, this is, you know.
NSFW.
Yeah.
And all that. But, yeah, I do think that, and I don't know, maybe you're a part of it, Randy.
What's that?
Maybe we both are. I'm not sure.
Could be.
I think there's an evolution of how people feel about cuss words, about cussing in general.
Yeah, man.
It's getting way more normal than it used to be.
Hey, man, you know me. I'm a hell of a cusser, and I like good cussing.
You love cussing.
Yeah.
It's one of your favorite things.
Yeah.
I love it, too.
When I got down to the parking garage yesterday, earlier in the morning when I was taking a liberty to school, my tire pressure gauge came on. All right, so when I get down to the parking lot tomorrow, this is a very rare in my dealings with tires, I take a look around my car, and lo and behold, I see a nail sticking out of one of my tires, which ended up leading to me leaving here and going and sitting for 2 hours at the tire shop, getting three new tires, not just one. While I was there, I was fiddle-farting around on the internet, you know, and whatnot, so we were talking about John Cena and Make-A-Wish yesterday.
Right.
So it turns out that right before he goes out on stage, you know, right before his time, he actually grants what is being said is his last Make-A-Wish ever. All right? Because he's doing the heel turn and whatnot. And that's just part of the video clip that I saw showing him back there. The caption was John Cena, but we don't know if it's going to be his last or not. WWE has filed trademark for the phrase Break-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, no.
Wow. Are they going to have T-shirts with it on there?
100% this is what
happened. So they're going to make it a thing to tell people no?
I can just see John Cena coming out in jorts and his hat still and whatever, you know, shoes with his socks and his shirt. It's going to be all colorful instead. It's just going to be Break-A-Wish Foundation. He's going to come out with a snarl and whatnot. So, yeah, there you go. So and I bet they're going to sell a crap ton of them.
Yeah,
hell
probably.
Yeah, because
that seems like something
sold
people
all them
would
damn
like.
MWO shirts when everybody was mad and crying the first night.
So yeah,
they'll figure it out.
So, in a follow up to another story from yesterday, it seems like negotiations have broken down between UNC and HBO, and there will not be a Hard Knocks on HBO. So, I'm just wondering if it's just not going
to
happen.
Just get this, either force somebody to do it.
Because I thought that
it.
They could do that.
I thought it could, too.
I guess during the season you can.
Oh.
I guess there's nothing in the agreement about the offseason one.
Yeah.
Because they've added all these new ones. You
know? That's what I'm saying. Like, I thought they could, but if not, just leave it alone. Nobody wants to do it.
Well, then I like that Belichick was like, we'll do it. And all the NFL owners were like, the hell you will.
You think it was the NFL that shut this down?
I think NFL owners were like, you're not using NFL Network.
Yes.
Our platform that we pay for and fund.
And try to get your ass a job.
To try to recruit some guys to your school. No, we're not allowing you to do that.
Well, I wonder if NCAA shut it down because it'd be maybe illegal.
From what I read,
practices.
From what I read, there were multiple NFL owners that had a problem with the NFL doing it. They were like, nah, we're not doing that.
No.
Because it's Hard Knocks is trademarked.
Hard Knocks
to the
NFL is NFL teams.
That's our stuff.
That guy's not in the NFL anymore. If he wants free publicity for UNC, he can do it on social media like he's been doing. Okay? He can go get another 24-year-old girlfriend or something like that. He's not doing Hard Knocks on our dime, which I get. Like,
I'm
Hard Knocks is to promote the NFL product.
It's not to promote NFL coach.
An NFL coach.
Who's trying to get back in the
Now,
NFL.
I do wonder what owners it was.
Robert Kraft was one of them.
Could be.
No, he no could be. Ain't no could be.
A possibility there.
Ain't no could be in it.
Yeah.
Robert was like, yeah. No.
No, we're not doing that.
Tom Brady was probably in on it.
Maybe Tom Brady owns the team, and he doesn't want him to do that either. No. Yeah.
But Robert Kraft.
Those were the owners I was thinking of.
Robert Kraft, definitely.
Wonder who it was.
So maybe everybody has a podcast these days, including Cam Jordan. Well, Cam Jordan had Adam Thielen and Bryce Young on this week. And, of course, Xavier Leggett comes up. And Adam Thielen had this to say. Actually, they both did about their wide receiver teammate.
No one knows what he's saying except for me.
What?
So Coach Moore will literally ask him a question. Xavier will respond. And then Coach will immediately look to me like, what did he say? And I have to translate. And then everyone's like, why are you the one who's translating? It doesn't make any sense. But for some reason, I just understand what he's saying.
You call out a play.
Yeah.
In practice, he comes to you and he starts talking to you. Hey, I don't mean what I'm talking about.
I've gotten better too. Yesterday I seen him and it was like a little loud where we were at and it was dark. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, bro, I'm not going to lie, man. Like, I can't, like, we can't have a conversation.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I like the fact that Adam Thielen is the translator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's from Minnesota. So there's no, like, regional reason why he would have.
But, I mean, maybe that's just, you know, being around the Rook a lot, sitting there having conversations with him.
Yeah, just listening close.
I mean.
Even Bryce Young's voice sounds little.
It does. It really does.
No, but, I mean,
I've had teammates that were not, like, from where he's from, but have been from where you're from, Bo, like, deep Cajun. You're sitting there like, what the hell did he just say?
It's not often, but it still happens where you say stuff and I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
and I'll be like, what'd you say?
Yeah, it happens.
And then
you
say it again, and I'll be like, didn't help.
Didn't help.
Spell it.
Yeah,
so it happens.
It happens.
It happens. People are from different places. So
there's also another video that I ran across. Audio wouldn't have been any good to play, but Xavier Leggett just got another horse.
Oh, good.
This fool is out here with his brand new horse. And if you picture Xavier Leggett with a horse in a pasture with a horse, dressed exactly like you would think.
Overalls?
In sweatpants, sagging for whatever reason. That's a thing. Mm. With cowboy boots on.
Oh.
With no shirt, of course. Wrangling a new horse.
He is country as country.
Yeah. It'd be kind of fun to have a horse.
Having horses is fun.
You have?
I grew up with horses. My parents still have horses, yeah. My sister was a big horse rider, me not so much. I had one run away with me when I was like 5.
Yeah, that'll scar
you. I was on it and it just went where I didn't want to go.
That's trauma.
Yeah.
That'll scar you. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Bo has horse trauma. Could be a takeaway of the day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.